Blog Talk Radio.
7 hours.
Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Have you ever heard about a singing group from the 60s called The Toys? Not to date myself, but they were one of my favorite groups.
Oh, my
goodness. I know you've heard about A Lover's Concerto. And have you ever wanted to know what it's like to be a young girl singer with all its tragedies and triumphs from the 60s? Can you imagine being a singer and finding out that you have lung cancer? Tell me, do you know what it means to never, ever, ever give up? Have you ever heard about a book called One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams? Or better yet, would you like to meet two people who have some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to survive the 60s? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'll be introducing you to my co-host and his guest. He is a successful coach extraordinaire, and he has wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons, and they both have some really, really great advice for us today. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk4Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 50 million listeners, and Blog Talk Radio, with our show having over 1.8 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my co-host today. My co-host is Tom Ingracia. He's president of the Moda Act Group, a motivational speaker, success, and business coach, writer, and musicologist. In 21, following a successful 25-year career in higher education administration, Tom reinvented himself as an entertainment manager, fulfilling his lifelong dream of working in the entertainment industry with the formation of Ingracia Productions and Artist Management. Today, he represents a roster of more than a dozen eclectic musicians, actors, and composers. Welcome back to the show, Tom. It's always terrific to have you with us.
Oh, thanks, January. You know, I always love being on the show with you.
I know. We have so much fun.
We do.
Now, would you introduce your guest to us today?
I would love to, and I'm going to take you all the way back to the mid-1960s. I know that you remember those, January, and I remember the mid-60s as well.
Yes.
And in 1965, Barbara Paris, and June Montero, the legendary Toys, were at the top of the music charts with their massive hit, A Lover's Concerto. And we're thrilled to have as our special guest today, June Montero, an original founding member of The Toys. Now, as January, as you said just a few minutes ago, June has seen the top, but she's also seen the bottom, the obstacles and the adversity of life. And June shares her story in my book, One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. And so we're going to talk with June tonight a little bit about both the triumph and the tragedy that, that life brings to all of us. But, you know, back at this is such a thrill for me because, you know, I remember I played a lover's concerto to death in the 1960s. I think I wore out my 45 of that. And then the follow-up to that song, Attack, I loved Attack even more than I loved the lover's concerto. So, you know, to now, to know June and to count her as one of my dearest friends and to have her on the show tonight is just a dream come true for me. So, hi, June.
Hi, Tom.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on here.
You're welcome.
I'm really flattered.
Both January and for me.
I'm flattered.
Good. Well, you know, as you know, June, January's show is all about sharing success stories, and you certainly have known your share of success.
Yes.
But as you share One Door Closes, you've also had your share of adversity and obstacles, too, including, as January said earlier, about with throat cancer several years ago. But
yes.
Before we talk about that, let's talk a little bit about how you got into show business. You know, the Toys were one of the biggest girl groups of the 1960s, and A Lover's Concerto spent 6 weeks at number one in 1965. So how did the three of you come together and get started?
Well, actually, we used to do background work. And when we were like 12, 13, 14, we used to go down to 1650 Broadway in the Brill Building.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that we used to do is that we used to wait until the elevator door opened, and we would sing right in the lobby. And everybody's like, who is this girl? And these girls are singing in the lobby down there, you know. Uh-huh. And next thing we know that they were asking us to do demos, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the people that we first did a demo for, and I remember when he used to just walk around with his guitar, and his name is Neil Diamond.
Oh, wow.
Now, he had these like great songs. Like, you know, then I knew, you know, when I used to hear him, you know, play, you know, the song that he was trying to, you know, sell.
Yeah.
And, you know, like one of the producers or whoever it was that was hiring us to do background work.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would be playing his guitar. And I said, you know what, that's a nice catchy song. This guy can really write. You know, not knowing that he's going to talk to be this Neil Diamond, I always knew that he was a good writer. So they asked us to do some background work, you know, just to put down some tracks for him because he wanted to sell his demos, you know, so he could sell his songs. So anyway, we started out, you know, just doing, you know, they just told us what to sing, and we would sing, and just the tracks of the background vocals would be on there, and then he would eventually put his voice on there. But we were never there when he put his voice on. We were only there when they told us what to sing.
Yeah.
So we never got to do, you know, didn't have the privilege of hearing him sing, you know, so we can, because I would have had a fit. You know, I'd be like, wait one, you know, that's us, that's us. You know, but they never used the voices, you know, from the demo.
Yeah,
you know, when he did it, they did it with some other girls or whatever, but we were the first ones to do the voices for the demos for Neil Diamond. That's one of the people that we backed up, you know, first.
Yeah.
And then it was like, lots and lots of people that, you know, were coming in trying to sell their demos, and they paid us $15 a piece, you know, for each demo.
Oh, my.
Yeah. We would come from school. We would come back from school, and we get $15 a piece. Yes,
That was big money because Barry Gordy was only paying his singers $5 a piece.
Oh, get out of here! We got $15.
Yeah, so $15. You, hey, that was big money.
Yeah, $15 a piece. So, you know, we'd do three and four songs, boy, you know, and we were in our school. We used to have the first London Fogs and, you know, all the new stuff and, you know, clothes that they had never seen because, you know, they wasn't able to afford to buy, you know, these kind of, we had suede coats and jackets and all this, you know. You know, because we, you know, we were doing this like three to 4 days out of the week.
Yeah.
We would leave school and go down there to 1650 or either the Brill Building, and they would have some background work for us to do.
Wow.
So from that point, we kept on doing it. And so when we were around 14, I was like 14 and Barbara was 15, Barbara Harris, and then Barbara Tumor, she was 16. And they decided that they were going to record a single on us. And it was called The Fight's Not Over and Whatever Happened to Our Love.
Oh.
And so we had a manager, his name is Bob Urey. So he gave us our first single record when we were 14. In fact, we were 13, 14, and 15. That's how old we were. Because I was 13, really. Yeah. And so, well, the record didn't do that well. You know, we got a little bit of record play, you know, airplay, rather.
Uh-huh.
And so we continued to go. Bob continued to get us, like, background work. And then Bob Crew heard us singing behind Diane Renee. And so Bob Crew said, wait a second. You know what? You know, those girls sound like they would be able to do a Lover's Concerto. I like their sound. So then we hooked up with Bob Crew. You know, Bob Crew was with the Four Seasons.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the hottest producers at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so he said, I like their sound. So, we went to his office and he spoke to us about, you know, how interesting, how do we really want to, like, do a song? Would we like to really be in the business? And how would you like to travel? And, you know, he asked us all these kind of questions like that, you know, because I was supposed to go to Queens College right after I got out of high school, so to go to Queens College.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, he was asking questions like that, like, you know, are we going to be continuing to go to college or will we be available? That's what he was really asking us, you know, because he just knew that this Lover's Concerto fit us perfectly and that he can see us like traveling and going, you know, going places with this song.
Yeah.
So we all said, yeah, we're available. Yeah, we would love to do it. Yeah, when? When are we going to do it? When are we going? When can we get a song?
you know, June, this is January here, and we're going to take a break for our sponsors because that's what we do on shows. And when we come back, I want to hear from you, June, what it was like when you hit the top. Were you prepared for that kind of success? And how did your family feel about it? Because, my gosh, 13, 14, and 15, you were just babies. What an experience.
Yeah.
What an experience. We'll be right back with Tom and Gracia, my co-host, and June Monteiro.
Oh.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Nicholas Hazel is a senior member of the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor and author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Scientific research is discovering that our bodies only hurt when we don't laugh. For anyone interested in a laugh-out-loud collection of medical terms and poetical music, often at the expense of health professionals' love and life, Laughter, the Drug of Choice, is just what the doctor ordered.
Welcome back with my wonderful co-host, Tom Ingracias, and his guest, June Monteiro. And she is featured in a chapter in his fantastic book that he wrote with Jared Kerminsky, One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. Now, June, share with us, what was it like when you were 13? How did your family react to this career you were creating?
Well, you know what, they actually didn't really, they didn't pay attention to the fact that we were really singing downtown and we were singing on the back of records, and we told them, you know, I told my brothers and I told my sisters and my mother, and my father had died when I was 11, so he was gone already, but I had spoken to my brothers about it, and they were talking about me going to school, you know, and as far as my homework, you know, my homework suffered. So I had to, like, whenever we would do the background work, I still would have to come back home and do my homework.
Yeah.
So I went to Martin Van Buren, and I had to come back and do my homework, and sometimes I wouldn't even get to bed until, like, 1 in the morning.
Wow.
Because they were on top of me about, did you do your homework? You know, so because they weren't even focused on the singing, me singing. All they wanted to know is, did I do my homework? So, you know, like, that's all they were interested in. They didn't even, like, you know, acknowledge the fact that I'm singing in a group and we're making money. We're doing background work. They never acknowledged it. The only time they acknowledged it is when the record went to number one. When we go,
so
I was like, oh, wait a second, it was really serious.
Wow. Now your record goes
they were
to
like,
number
wait a minute, what?
The record goes to number one, so of course your family acknowledges it.
Yeah.
But the rest
of
all
before that, they didn't, you know, they didn't pay any attention to it at all.
Well, the rest of the world knew who you were. What was it like when you hit the top? And, I mean, you were just a baby.
I know. I was 19, we were 19, 20, and 21. And it was all, you know, actually what happened, it just all came to us. You know, there were so many things that was going on at one time that our heads were spinning. And I was always interested in what the contracts were about. And I showed the contracts, like, to my brother and, you know, and people, you know, I was an attorney, and, you know, they were saying, well, this is like a regular contract, you know. So everybody, like, kind of, like, said, you know, it was like a regular contract. But the only thing that happened is that the percentage at that time, you know, you only got like 3 cents for a record or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Remember, it was like 3 cents. You only get 3 cents on a record.
Wow.
And,
That was it.
So then, they were looking at that and saying, gosh, that's all you get on a record? You know, you're really going to have to sell a whole lot of records to get any kind of money, you know. But anyway, the contract actually favored Bob Crew, you know, more so. And we, you know, like at that time in the business, you just wanted to sing. You wanted to perform.
Right.
You didn't really, like, get into the business part of how he's going to be making all the millions and we're just going to be having, like, a few thousand.
Right.
You know, we thought that once we got out there that, you know, the more records we get, the more, you know, popular we get, you know, the more we work all over the world, that, you know, we'll be world-renowned, and, you know, that's where our head was coming from. So we just let the contract go. But in the long run, you know, Bob Crewe is the one that actually really came out on top. In fact, we got Bob Crewe because he was in debt. We were the ones that got him out of debt, with the Lovers Concerto. On his record, on his label, Dyna Voice, we were, the Toys got Bob Crewe out of debt.
Now, June,
that's June, a fact.
June, tell me, do you remember where you were when you realized and heard that your record was number one?
I think we were like riding in a car, and we heard the record. We kept hearing the record each time we would get in the car. Anytime we would walk down the street, we'd go in the store. They were playing the record. You know how they play the record all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and we said, wow, you know, they're playing this record a lot. You know, so so of course we were keeping up with it on the charts. So on the R&B chart, you know, we actually was a, were like a pop group. So on Billboard, it just climbed up the Billboard chart so quickly, you know, that the R&B chart, we were already number one, you know, that the Billboard, you know, that's what we really went by, Billboard.
Yeah.
What an exciting time.
It kept on having another bullet. And the next thing we know that the Rolling Stones was up there. We knocked out the Rolling Stones from the Beatles.
Wow.
We're like, oh, my goodness. Now, I always loved the record Lovers Concerto. I was the only one. Robert Plant and Bob Harris, really, they didn't really care for that record.
Really?
They didn't really care for it.
Wow.
You know, they said they don't care. They said, this doesn't sound like, you know, because people were used to listening to, like, Motown stuff and all that, you know. And they didn't really see it, you know. They didn't really hear the quality. Like, I really heard the quality. And, you know, they'll vouch for it, too. That I said, no. I said, I love a Lovers Concerto. I want us to do a Lovers Concerto. Because they had another song that they wanted us to do at the same time that we did a Lovers Concerto. Opus 17 I can't remember the name of it, really.
Oh, yeah. I think the Four Seasons went on to record Opus 17.
They had wanted us to do Opus 17, and told them, I said, no, please, the Lovers Concerto, can't you hear it? It's going to be incredible. And so the writers and Sandy and Denny, they spoke up and said, no, this is the song we're going to go with, and that's all there is to it. We're the writers, and then they also signed us, you know, exclusively, to whereas we weren't able to really get other people's music because we were signed to Denny Randall and Sandy Linzer exclusively. Okay, so that knocked down a whole lot of songs that came our way, and just knocked it off the chart, you know, or knocked it out the boxes is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Of us having like more songs or having more hits. Because a lot of people had great songs, and they presented it to us, and we couldn't accept the songs because Sandy and Denny they said no, we can't. We're your writers, and we're going to write you a hit song.
Yeah.
And
now, Tom, could you share with our listeners how you decided to include June and her amazing story in One Door Closes?
Well, you know, and that really is that's kind of a key, January. Jared and I wanted to include in this book people who have really inspirational stories, you know, people who have triumphed over adversity and have been able to really have such a positive outlook on life. And, you know, I've been knowing June for, 8 or 9 years now, and so, you know, I knew at least part of her story before we started writing the book. You know, I knew about June's bout with throat cancer, you know, and knowing how devastating that kind of diagnosis could be for a singer, but knowing that, you know, through sheer willpower and her own inner strength and positive attitude and her faith, you know, that she was able to pull herself through that. So that, you know, so as you know, as soon as Jared and I decided to write this book, and I got in touch with June and I said, we really would love to have you involved in this. Well, then, you know, as we were actually writing the book, and when mm-hmm. I did the interview for the book with June, so much more of her story that even I hadn't been aware of came out. And really, June, I have to say, your story in the book, I think of all 16 stories that are in the book, yours is one of the most powerful stories.
Really?
I really do, because, you know, you've been so much through so much in life, you know, and yet here you are in 2014, you know, you're still out there, you're still out there performing, you have such a positive attitude, you know, in your chapter, you talk about the power of positive affirmations, you talk about, you know, the power of faith, and so your story, you know, it's not only very powerful, but it's very inspirational to people. And, you know, and people who are reading the book are telling me that they read your chapter, and as they're reading through some of the trials that you went through and some of the tragedies you went through, you know, they're crying as they're reading that. But by the time they get to the end of your chapter and the end of your story, you know, they feel so uplifted by what you have shared in that book. So,
goodness,
you know,
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so powerful, and you know, so that, you know, June, that January, that, you know, that really was why I really so much wanted to have June involved in this project, because it is such a powerful story.
Well, you know, Tom and June, when I read the chapter, A Story of Tragedy and Triumph, I read it once, I put it down. I thought about it, and I couldn't believe what I had read, and I had to go back, truthfully, and pick it up and reread it. It was so compelling. June's journey is so powerful. It was just a wonderful experience. We're going to take a break now, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with June about what she went through when she was diagnosed with throat cancer. We'll be right back with Tom and Gracia and June Montiero.
Pam Evans has been married and divorced 4 times and lived to tell the tale with honesty, humor, and a heartfelt message. Check out Pam's first book, Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier, where she shares her hard-won lessons about behavior, emotions, relationships, and her marriage partner choices. Learn more about Pam's road less traveled and how she anticipates every day with joy and a sense of gratitude. Visit Pam's website at www.ring-exchange.com. Her book is available on Amazon.com, too. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Welcome back with my guests, Tom and Gracia and June Montiero. Tom, I would like you and June both to share your website information and share with everyone how they can get your fabulous book.
All right. Well, I'll start off. And my website is www.motivactgroup.com, and it's MOTIVACT group.com. And there's a lot of information on the website about the work that I do, the coaching that I do, the motivational programs that I offer. There's also a link on there to the book, so that you can order the book directly from my website. But you can also go to Amazon.com and find One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams on Amazon. And before I turn this back over to June, I'll say just quickly, too, one of the exciting things that we have coming up is that Jared and I have plans now to turn One Door Closes into a documentary film. That's the next step in the progression of this.
Oh,
so,
incredible.
That's what we're going to be working on this year is getting the funding and producing a film, a documentary based on the book.
How very, very exciting. And June, what is your website info?
You mean my email?
Mm-hmm.
J-U.
Yeah, because June, you don't have a website, but you do have a Facebook page that people can go to.
Oh, I have my Facebook page.
Okay.
So you just go on Facebook and you'll see me. you want me to confirm your request, but I'm on Facebook. But I was wondering, saying on my website, I said I don't have a website.
Well, we're all going to follow you on Facebook. You're fascinating. Share with us what happened in 2006 when you were diagnosed with throat cancer. As a singer, it's devastating for anyone, but as a singer, it must have been especially devastating. You had been through so much. And what were your thoughts when the doctor told you you had throat cancer?
Okay, well, first of all, it was really in 2005. 2006 is when I finished my radiation. Okay? And at the time, I was singing with the a cappella group called Classic Soul.
Okay.
We do all the classic songs. And in fact, we were supposed to go over to Japan for like 6 weeks. And they have a book with us in all through the book, this Japanese book. And I was diagnosed with it, and we were supposed to go, I think, in September. Mm-hmm. And it was like in June, around June when I found out, May or June. I think, yes, it was like June.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone to a vocal teacher, you know, because I was feeling like hoarse. And whenever I sang, my throat was hurting. And so Alan Ransom, you know, he was the leader of the group, right? He asked me, he said, June, so what's going on with your throat? I mean, you're not sounding good at all. And the songs that I led, I couldn't read the songs, you know. And I told him, I said, I think maybe I got like a sore throat or something. But this went on like for like 3 weeks and went into 4 weeks, you know. And I thought maybe I had laryngitis. And so then I went to a vocal coach, and instead of going to a doctor, I went to a vocal coach first to ask her if there was something I was doing wrong. You know, maybe I was singing wrong or breathing wrong or something. You know, I've never even thought about that there was anything wrong with it, like cancer or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was because we used to sing 5-6 hours a day, every day.
Yeah.
Every day we sang. And we used to sing, you know, at the ferry and, you know, we were singing, we sang at all different kinds of, like, dinners, and they had luncheons and fundraisers, and, you know, so we sang at least 5 to 6 hours every day. And my throat was, like, hurting each time I sang.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to the vocal coach, she, Miss Abigail, she had me to sing for like an hour, and she made me do all kinds of scales. She made me do all kinds of things. So then she said, June, you know what I think is going on here? That is something very serious that, you know, that's going on here that's, you know, physical.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest you go to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, you know, the hospital, the specialized in the ear, nose, and throat. And I think you should go now. You know, do you have anything else you have to do today? I said, I have a lot of things I have to do today. My whole day I always have plenty of things to do. She says, well, you know what? I think you should just cancel everything. She says, I'm very serious now because you really need to go over there so that they can see what's going on with your throat. And so I went directly over to the ear, nose, and throat hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And My throat was like swollen profusely, you know.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, my goodness, what's going on? There's something going on here. So then they set it up for me to get this biopsy. And the biopsy came back that I had throat cancer.
Wow.
And I said, are you sure? I said, I mean, like, I was speechless. Mm-hmm. I said, but I'm a singer. I said, wait a minute, I don't want to turn out like Juliet dudes.
Right.
I said, if you go to operate on me, I said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you.
Uh-huh.
You get me the chief doctor. I want the chief. Okay. I said, if you give me the chief, I'll do anything or whatever it is, whatever it takes, you know, for you to get me well because I'm a singer. And uh-huh. I, you know, that's what I've been doing my whole, that's my profession. That's what I do for a living, you know. Uh-huh. And I don't want to turn out like Julie Andrews. Who could right. have had a bigger profession or a bigger
career
than
yeah.
Julie Andrews?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That's the way the fear came in. You know, whereas, you know, in the book I talk about how fear is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah, like that.
Oh, I love it.
Well, yeah, it was false evidence appearing real.
Uh-huh.
Because it wasn't real. I actually really did have the cancer on my throat. But anyway, so then
wow.
then they gave me the chief, and he operated on it. And he didn't want to go too far because then I would have turned out, would have worked out like Julie Andrews. So he didn't want to go too far in taking, you know, the cancer out. So the cancer came back in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, it's back. And that's those whole 2 weeks I couldn't call. And I had to write everything down.
Uh-huh.
And my sister, Dolores, she took care of me. She's a nurse. And so I felt safe over there with her. And mm-hmm. I had to write on the paper back and forth with her, and she had to, like, take care of me.
Wow.
And so I went back, and so he said, well, June, this is what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to get the radiation. Mm-hmm. And I said, radiation? So he said, yes, radiation. He said, and you're not going to be able to talk. You're not going to be able to eat. You're not going to be able to swallow. You know, I said, well, then how am I going to exist? He said, no, this is how you do it. We'll give you a diet. You'll mm-hmm. have to drink. You drink Ensures, and you have to eat soups, like a cream of mushroom soup, a cream of spinach, mm-hmm. and, you know, you could swallow. You can only swallow, like, liquids.
Okay.
So I said, okay. I said, all right, then. So we did the radiation. And that was like 6 weeks. And I went down to like, I looked like, not a pencil, but just getting into a pencil.
Yeah, well, sure.
A toothpick? I looked like a toothpick. If I turned to the side, you couldn't even see me.
Right,
and I was already,
yeah,
already not, skinny.
You're not all that big to begin with.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
So you know what happened here. If I turned sideways, you couldn't see me.
Yeah.
You know, June and Tom, we're going to take a break and hear about my favorite co-host. And when we come back with Tom and Gracia and June Monteiro, we're going to talk about 2014, 49 years after the toys were at the top of the charts. And they're going to tell us about their group's plans for this year and getting ready to go back on the road. Doesn't that sound like fun? We'll be right
yes.
back with Tom and June.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my co-host, Tom Ingracia, and his guest, June Monteiro. Now, Tom, let's talk about 2014, 49 years after the toys were at the top of the charts.
Well, yeah, when I was working on the book with June and we were working on her chapter, she shared with me some what for me was such exciting news. So June, I understand that you and Barbara are getting back together as the original toys and getting ready to get back out there and delight fans.
Yes. Yes, we definitely are.
Tell us a little bit about what that and what your plans are for 2014.
Well, let me put it this way. We have several different agencies and promoters, booking agents that are very, very interested in that. They are so excited about the three of us getting back together because we're the only original group. There's no other original group, you know, that has all the original members.
Yes.
You know, and so, you know, they're kind of like excited about it because, you know, I'm trying to think of I think there is one more group. I can't think of the name of them. Someone mentioned it to me.
There aren't very many. There are not very many original groups.
No, there is one more group that does have all the original members. I can't think of their name right now. But basically, we're really the only group, you know, from the 60s have all original members. And so,
and there's such hunger out there for the music of the 60s, so that it's music that just resonated with so many people, so that, you know, I know that when the original toys get back out there, you're going to get such a wonderful reception from your audiences and from your fans. So, just that the news that the three of you are working on this for this year is just really so exciting. Now, what are your personal goals for 2014? What do you want to happen for June Monteiro in 2014?
Well, I told you about this rub that I'm going to be, like, it's a seasoning.
Yeah.
This is my own personal, you know, thing. It's called Old Man's Rub, and I'm telling you, it's a seasoning, and I'm telling you, it is so absolutely delicious. You could put it in soups, on any meats. If you put it on meat, you have to, like, rub down the meat and fishes, you know, your fish and poultry and whatever.
You have to
put olive oil on it first, and then really, it's very, very, very good. When you marinate it, the seasoning, and you don't need to put anything else but the seasoning, nothing else. Just use the seasoning.
And Pillsbury
picked it up
old
also.
Old Man seasoning to the top of the chart too.
Excuse me.
So your plan is to take Old Man seasoning up to the top of the chart.
Yes.
So that you're with your seasoning business.
I'm telling you, you know, Pillsbury picked it up. You know, that's how good it is. So, you know, Pillsbury picked it up. You know it's good.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, June, share with my listeners right now, today, 2014, what does success mean to you, and do you have any regrets?
Well, you know, success to me is having God in your life.
Okay, good.
And the thing about, like, I've, like, I do affirmations like, my favorite one is like, God is, mm-hmm. I am,
uh-huh.
therefore I can.
Wow.
And I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth.
Wow.
These two are like my favorites because whenever I have, distorted distraction in my mind and I don't really know what direction to go, or all I have to do is just be still and let go and let God.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And he tells me, the Spirit tells me what to do.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I've been doing it. This is how I've been able to spring back from so many awful, awful, terrible things. Like when I was a fly stone. I wish I had been in this frame of mind when I was a fly.
Because
I was out there with Fly Stone for like 3 years, and he was doing the Ride album with Family Affair and all, when he had, all those, If You Want Me to Stay. And so I was out there with him for like almost 3 years because he was supposed to give us a hit record.
You know,
he was supposed to write the, so we were signed to Stoneflower Productions. And so I lost all my spirituality that I had because I used to be a vegetarian and I used to meditate and I used to also do yoga. Before I went to live with Clark. These were the positive things that I was into before I went out there with him.
Right, yeah.
And then once I got out there with him, I didn't know what month or day it was. Much less, year. I'm like, before you knew it, a year went by, and I was still, we were still waiting to find out when is he going to, start doing his record. So... Mm-hmm. He started on the record, I'm telling you, and it was going to be a great record called Love is a Movie Star.
I love the title.
The title, Love is a Movie Star. I wish you could have heard the way this song was going. But he kept changing it. He kept changing the song around so many times. And then he would go back to writing Family Affair or, he would hear something that he would have to do for Sly and the Family Stone. Not only that, Clive Davis was on his back about getting the album done. So he was trying to get the Toy song written, and then he was also trying to do the Fly Stone album for Clive Davis. And next thing I know, there was 3 years, was out there. I was with him when he wrote all the songs.
We could definitely put him in the regret column. And Tom,
I don't regret it because I really got to learn a lot from him. I learned what not to be, and I also learned how to write.
Absolutely.
So there was good things about it, and there was very bad things about it.
Which is what life's like. And Tom, I want to thank you so much for co-hosting the show with me today and bringing this wonderful person, June Monteiro, to my listeners. And I'm looking forward to having you back again next month. Yeah. I always love sharing our format with you.
So you want me back again next month?
we're going to have somebody different next month, but maybe.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you want Tom back or you want me back?
I'm going to be back on the show next month.
Tom will be back for sure. And
Tom will be back for sure.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this show today. Hasn't it been fun, interesting, and very eclectic? We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests like Tom and June today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my co-host, Tom Ingracios, and to June Monteiro of The Toys. This is January Jones thanking you
for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.